Good morning. Welcome to Mountain View United Methodist Church. We're happy that you're here today. But some folks who aren't here today are our pastors. They're off to annual conference. And we will be having our sermon today by Reverend Ken Brown of Broomfield. But he's not here either. We'll see that sermon on videotape. So we will be watching that on the screen. There are several things in the bulletin that I'd like to draw your attention to for this next week. The first thing is on Wednesday morning, the morning sacred walk, and that will be held at 7:30 in the morning. Please come to our labyrinth and walk with us. I'll certainly plan to be there. Also, coming up next Sunday are the Native American Ministry Collection beginning that time. We're going to start a summer hymn sing next Sunday. Vacation Bible School volunteer signups are continuing. And I want to also highlight the little section on Give by Text. I didn't believe it, but I did it. I actually called that phone number and set it up, and anytime I want to give a little money to the church, I can just text that number and it will happen. It's a new world out there. Well, given that, I'd like to welcome Bill Good to the podium, and he's going to, or actually Vacation Bible School, that's the first thing. Please count up Larissa.
Thank you. Okay, I'm here. I've brought Snappy the crab, and I've brought two of my favorite Vacation Bible School participants, Annie and Julia. Last week, I hear you guys got to see a video that kind of shows off what we're going to be doing this year at VBS. But Annie and Julia and their mom, Kathleen, were very nice to make a video for you for today that shows why Vacation Bible School can be fun for these guys, but also for all of you as well. So we'll watch that video, then we'll talk a little more about it. Okay, well, you heard it from these two ladies right here, how much fun Vacation Bible School is. And while these two have lots of fun, right? You guys have lots of fun at VBS? Yeah, well, I can tell they have lots of fun. I promise that as an adult, you would have so much fun as well. I see a few of you in here who have been a part of EBS before, and it really is an amazing week. Picture this sanctuary filled with 100-plus kids standing up and singing and playing and learning all about God's incredible love. And I would love for you guys to be a part of that. So after the service, if you'd like, you can come and ask me how you can be involved. You could also come over and ask Andy and Julia here, and I'm sure they would tell you how much they love Vacation Bible School. So we hope to see you guys in 2 weeks at Shipwrecked VBS. Right? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And peace be with you. All right, we have a new congregational introit for a little while. We got tired of the old one. So it's time for us to learn a new one. So up here, you're going to see what your response is going to be. All you've got to do is just sing that line a couple of times. And it goes like this. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Let's try it. Here we go. And rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. We'll do it one more time, and then I'll sing a verse, and then you'll sing that back. Here we go. One more time together, and rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. We come here today to worship the Lord, give thanks for the lives we live. We sing your praises, God Most High, and bring honor to your name. Here we go. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Creator God, you made our world and gave us the breath of life. We are your people, holy Lord. We serve you forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Please join me in the call to worship. Creator God, call us all. Declared, O Lord, that our sons and daughters would prophesy. The young would see vision while the elders dream dreams. Resurrected Christ, guide us all. Love kindness and to walk humbly with you. Holy, holy, holy Spirit, move us to action. And righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Take away all guilt, accept that which is good. We offer our worship, the fruit of our lips to you, our God. Amen. Please stand for the opening hymn, Morning Has Broken.
Thank you.
time for the children to please come forward for their time. Who's doing that? Hey guys, how's it going? It's kind of a wacky day here at church a little bit, but that's okay, because we're here to worship and celebrate anyway, right? Even when problems come up and things happen, we can roll with it, right? Yeah. Yes. So today at church, we're making some people. I just printed off a person, and I was cutting out a whole bunch of hearts. Because we are talking today, do you see? Kathleen's holding it up. I was gluing some hearts to my person. And what we were talking about today in the big service, we'll see a little video here later on, how we are all one with God, right? And can we do God's work here? Can we do that? Yeah, what kinds of things can we do to do God's work? What can we do? We can love others. We can be people's friends. Those are good ways. How else can we do God's work? We can share. Those are all very good ways. So, yeah, just being kind and being helpful and being a good friend is how we can be part of the body of Christ, right? So, yeah, so in our playground, you can make some pictures. You can draw a picture of yourself if you want. And then every time you put a heart on that picture, you can think about how you are part of the body in Christ and how you can share God's love with others. Right? Sounds pretty good? You think? Okay. Should we say a prayer? Can you guys put your hands together and close your eyes and say, "Hey God, thank you for this beautiful day. Beautiful day. Help us to love others. Help us to be kind. Help us to be helpful. And help us to remember your love always." Amen.
All right, good morning. As we come to our prayer time, so I'm Bill Good, I'm our lay leader, and today is Laity Sunday. That's why we don't have any pastoral leadership. So that's why we're a little bit winging it. We don't have any professional training, but we'll do the best we can. We have planned out a service for you, so don't worry there. Joys and concerns as we prepare for prayer time. We'll start with joys. Any joys that you want to lift up this morning? Yeah. Oh, the beautiful flowers. Absolutely. All the water that we've had this spring, and it's really growing. Yeah, thank you. Other joys. Yeah, John. Oh, the zucchini. Excellent. Our gardens are growing and flourishing. Others. Absolutely, yeah. Blessings for the youth mission trip to Guatemala and the work that they did there, and safe return, and certainly prayers and concern for the people of Guatemala as they struggle with the after effects of the volcano eruption. Any other joys? Yeah, her grandson graduated from Denver University yesterday, so congratulations. A lot of graduations this season, so a lot to be thankful for. Yeah. Excellent. Twin grandsons graduating from kindergarten. It's a big milestone. Yeah. Okay, absolutely. Yeah. Graduations from high school, going into college. Perfect. Are there concerns that folks want to lift up this morning? Yeah, the fire victims in Durango and volcano victims in Guatemala as well. And also Hawaii, I suppose. Yeah. Others. Yeah. Okay, prayers for Joel, who's struggling with some health issues. Yeah, Robin. Sorry to hear that. So Robin's uncle passed away just the other day. Others? Great. Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Sure. Can you help me with your name? What was your name again? Greg. Okay. Prayers for Greg. Yeah. But still working through some stuff. Yeah. Sure. Well, we're glad to have you with us this morning, Greg. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks. Others this morning, concerns? Yeah. Jean.
Sister Law Shelley is on the island. Her sister in law, they go in the other direction of the family. So we thought that she wasn't
alive
yet.
Oh, no.
And she has another community, so prayers for Shelley and Shannon.
Prayers for Shelley and Shannon. Okay. Sorry to hear that. Are we ready to pray? All right. Dear God, thank you this morning for bringing us together in your house. Thank you for accepting us as we are and showing us the way to live as disciples of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for graduations, for the joys in making it through and transitions in life that we work through. Thank you for the beautiful flowers and the wonderful gardens that we are growing. Give us nourishment and strength. Put us closer to you. We pray this morning for our pastors and lay delegates so that they'll have safe travels back from Utah where they're representing us at annual conference. We ask that you be with all of the conference leadership and their decisions that they make for our region and for all of the United Methodist Churches. We pray this morning for our community. We pray for Joel, pray for Greg, pray for Robin's family and passing of her uncle. Pray for Shannon, Shelley, struggles with illness. Lord, we pray for the victims of fire in Durango and all across the Southwest that's very dry. Lord, we pray for volcano victims as well, Guatemala, Hawaii. We know of your great power through the the earth. And we pray that you bring healing and peace to all of us. Lord, we ask you to help us to reach out to those we meet, to share your love and compassion. Give us the courage to step out of our comfort zones and be a vacation Bible school volunteer or participate in a mission trip. We pray for our world, Lord. Remind us how much we have in common as a people. Give us strength to support each other and help us to feel a personal connection to our neighbors around the world. We strive to be your hands in this world, making a difference for all people. And in this way, we follow your example, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Here's the call to offering. We are one body, and are called to act as one spirit. Please give to support that one body and spirit. Amen. Lord, take these gifts and multiply them to bring healing, learning, and peace to all of your children who make up this one body in Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. The scripture today is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 5. It's in the Bible on page 951 or on the screens. Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
So in spite of all of my disorganization, we know we'll always have wonderful music. Really appreciate that. Thank you to the whole music staff and also to Sarah for the solo there. Thank you. So before we start the sermon, I wanted to make a note here. I wouldn't usually check my phone, but I did just get a message from Bonnie, our lay delegate out there at Daniel Conference, and she says, Sarah Jane Merchant, ordained elder of the Mountain Sky Conference of the United Methodist Church. So congratulations. Yay. She also sends a picture of Deacon Carol Forbes, officially ordained as well. So we are very pleased to celebrate both of them. Very special day in the life of our church for that. And we'll actually be celebrating them next week when they're back here with a special reception after church. So please be sure to be here to congratulate both of them on that. Also, to give a brief introduction to our sermon. So Pastor Ken Brown recorded this earlier. This is a really special sermon that he's given. He's the pastor at Broomfield United Methodist Church, as it says in your bulletin. He preaches here about making our connection and lives as followers of Jesus personal. So I want you to think about this morning as he's speaking, how does it shape our decisions and our words that we use, that connection to Jesus? What might our connection with Jesus disrupt in our lives? What might it make different if we keep that as the focus? And also, how does it lead us to live the gospel? To not just live, but live the gospel.
So some of you are familiar with a journalist, her name is Katie Couric. And Katie had an interview with this guy named Brian Bennett years ago. And Brian is this incredibly well-adjusted, high-performing adult. But growing up as a kid, he was abused, neglected, just didn't have all the cards line up in his favor. So Katie's impressed with this young man, and she just asked the question, what made the difference in your life? And without thinking, Brian said, when I was in grade school, I had a teacher. This teacher cared for me, and she told me that she believed in me. For Brian, it was one moment that changed his life. One moment of positivity that helped him to see his potential. Well, with this message series we're doing, we're talking about positive encounters and how we change the world with positive encounters. And one of the most defining positive encounters any of us can experience is an encounter with Jesus that shapes our life, changes our life, and the choices that we make. Researchers have done some research on the topic about positivity in our lives. And they say that on any given day or moment, if we have these small frequencies of positive acts kind of shape who we are, so the magic ratio apparently is 5 to 1. For every negative encounter that we have, we need 5 positive encounters to kind of overcome the memory of the negative encounter. 5 to 1. So if you're ever in a situation where it's like 1 to 1 positive and negative, usually that can be a very hostile setting and situation. And so typically we call that in marriage tit for tat. Not that any of you would know anything about that, but that's what happens when it's negative to positive. And it's just not a pathway of hopefulness when it's negative to positive. That 5 to 1 makes a difference. So at the core, all of this is personal. The personal choices that we make and how we understand ourselves and our journeys and how we make a difference in one another's life is always personal. So I decided this morning I would lead with this gospel story that so many of you are familiar with from the Gospel of Mark. It's an invitation to discipleship is what we call it. And I know when we say it's an invitation for discipleship, it sounds very genteel. And honestly, it isn't like when we follow Jesus, it's not like getting an e-vite for wine and craft beer. It's a little more challenging than that. And it's not as if there's this Facebook post that says, hey, there's this group, this meeting. When we're invited to follow Jesus, it's disruptive. It's disruptive. And one of the sort of tests for this is whether or not some of the choices that you're having to make, if they're like easy breezy and you're feeling like, yeah, I'm just kind of coasting on life, chances are we're missing some opportunities to truly surrender our lives and our journey to the work of Jesus Christ. Because it's always personal and there are always demands that we find this pathway of not only trusting Jesus, but trusting that with positivity we make a change and difference in this world. So the scripture lesson I'm going to share is the invitation. And as I'm sharing this invitation, I just want you, over the course of service today, just kind of, you know, in your own head and on your heart, to make an inventory of, you know, how you feel you're doing following Jesus today. And so here's the scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark. This is after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, announcing God's good news, saying, now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news. Now is the time. I love the language that another version of scripture says. This is the Message Bible. Instead of saying now is the time, it says instead time's up. Time's up. A phrase that we're hearing in our culture these days as we think about some of the ways that you and I want to see this world change. And at the core of this world changing is my belief is how we as a church, we get certain things right. So with this particular scripture, it's almost as if Jesus plants before us five positive activities that we can engage in this one scripture that will help us reshape the world. And it's all personal. The first is now is the time. When Jesus says now is the time, he's saying it has already dawned, this moment that we're waiting on, for us to be a part of something different. The context for this difference as another positive place is the kingdom of God. So the scripture writer, Jesus' words are, here comes the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is the context for our families, it's the context for our work, it's the context for how we connect as a community. It's a place where we can have positive experiences in the kingdom of God. He says you can change your heart. That's a positive opportunity for all of us. We can surrender our life. That's the fourth opportunity to be positive, how we surrender our life to God. Because surrender is all about releasing our will. It's about trusting God's moving in our lives. It's about hoping that we'll get those understandings of what it means to surrender our time and our energy to what it means to follow God. And lastly, Jesus says, trust the good news. And that good news that we embrace as a congregation, we embrace that Jesus is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, it gives us an opportunity on a very personal level to really surrender our lives, our journeys, our ambitions, our hopes to the work of God. So what Jesus does next, according to the Gospel of Mark, he practices what he preaches. He has this invitation and he presents it to people. And the first couple of people he presents it to are a couple of fishermen. So here's how the story unfolds in verse 16. It says, as Jesus passed along the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, he said, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Right away, they left their nets and followed him. They left their nets and followed him. Now, I want to share an insight about this story that I don't believe is often highlighted. Many times when we hear this story about the fishermen following Jesus, we think of these guys as being destitute and poor, and they had nothing to lose. Instead, what we know about the fishermen, Simon and Andrew and James and John, they were thriving. They had businesses, they hired people, they had means. We would tag them in our world to be affluent. And I highlighted this last year. When you have affluence in your life, it doesn't make you better than anyone else or more privileged than anyone else. But what affluence sometimes means is you have a different range of choices. You have different ways to expend your energy, other ways of offering your time, other ways of utilizing your resources, just a broader range of choices. And for these fishermen, they were willing to follow Jesus, risk their reputations, risk their livelihoods. It became incredibly personal when they made that decision to follow Jesus. So again, I'll ask that question I asked at the beginning of service. As you think about following Jesus, are you living this life of comfort? Or are there some spaces without going out of your way where Jesus is just inviting you to kind of live more faithfully some truths about what it means to surrender your time, your energy, your effort, your heart, and live out what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God? I mean, how are we really, really doing following Jesus? Well, for all of us, we have to make choices. And the story's been told about this man. He was a bishop in the evangelical church. And the evangelical church was a denomination that was a forerunner to what we call the United Methodist Church. What some of you may not know is the United Methodist Church as a denomination is relatively young. It was only organized in 1968 as the United Methodist Church. So one of the forerunner denominations that's a part of the United Methodist Church is the Evangelical Church. And the Evangelical Church had a bishop. His name was John Siebert. Now, John was one of these guys that had a career change back when he was living. And he has this amazing journal that just kind of captures some of how committed he was to following Jesus. I'll give you an example. He clocked over 175,000 miles in a horse-drawn carriage sharing the gospel. I mean, how many people here in worship will keep a car for 175,000 miles, right? But just, you can imagine that commitment. He preached over 9,000 sermons. He made over 48,000 pastoral calls, like calling on the sick, calling on people that were experiencing marital problems, calling on people that wanted to just kind of figure out life. I mean, these data points about this dude are amazing. Now, it sounds a little OCD to me. I'm not judging him. But he just captures, like, how he made this commitment to follow Jesus. So he tells this story that he was a copper. And a copper is a person back in those days that made barrels. Had a pretty good copperage business and just had some clients lined up that he could count on making a solid living. Yet when God calls him to be a preacher, he has to make a decision. And he has to make a decision to leave his business and pursue this calling or not. So in his journal, there are four words that he vows in order to honor this call on his life. This four-word vow was this: to make an effort. John records in his journal, "Jesus, I will make an effort." Those four words, to make an effort, was his commitment to just start. And friends, whenever you and I decide to make an effort, that's a starting point. And starting points were always these opportunities for us to realize there's this moment of truth where we're just trusting that Jesus is guiding our steps. We're trusting that Jesus is leading us. We're trusting that we can follow. And yes, it's always personal. So for this man, John Siebert, who clocked all those data points on mileage and visits and sermons and was foundational to the United Methodist Church, it all began with a starting point where he vowed to make an effort. And in his journal, he goes on to say, I will do whatever it takes. I will go wherever you lead me, Jesus. I will bear whatever cross I must bear. I will make it personal. So this morning, I repeat the question again. Are you following Jesus? When I do the litmus test on whether or not I'm following Jesus, honestly, I have to bring to the cross my secret struggles, the places where I have like deep emptiness, the struggles that honestly, more than likely, in most of your eyes, would disqualify me from being a pastor. But we all have places where there's struggles and we're trying to figure out how to follow God and trust God. If we're honest with ourselves, we all have moments in which we feel like there's shame in our lives and we feel unworthy. The moments in our lives where we feel like we've failed as parents, as spouses and friends, that we haven't followed through on the commitments to honor, you know, parents that have gone on to be with the Lord, that we haven't made follow through with some of the commitments we've made with family members that have gone on to be with the Lord. We all have places and spaces where we struggle, we have questions, and we wonder. And it's that place where we ask the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What it means to trust in his guidance and his direction? Because Jesus teaches us in this gospel lesson, just follow me. And when we follow it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get easier. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be rosy. But it means that we're not in this alone. There's this opportunity to allow that presence of Jesus nudging us to get us to that space of surrender and care and love. But try that out this upcoming week. Just ask yourself that question. You know what, this choice I'm getting ready to make, am I following Jesus? With this decision I must make, how am I following Jesus? With this conversation I have, how is it couched in Jesus' love? Because it's my sense, when we order our steps and that question to follow Jesus, it's going to give us those opportunities to be a little more positive in people's lives and just really present that opportunity for the gospel to kind of make sense for us. So ask that question this week as you're making decisions, as you're journeying through your week, as you're trying to trust God guiding your steps forward. Are you following Jesus? And as individuals, we have this question, but sometimes as congregations, we also have to ask that question, are we following Jesus? I believe that was the case last Sunday. We had a very gifted storyteller who shared a very impactful story on the topic of racial reconciliation. Her name is Cassandra Sewell, and for folks that were here, it was one of those moments congregationally where we went to this space of vulnerability and openness. And I was talking with Kyle, who is our choir director, and we were just kind of recapping the past week, and we were just kind of wondering aloud, you know, what was happening in the hearts and minds of people in our congregation as Cassie was sharing this very bold story with these overtones of violence and pain and agony from one generation to the next. And we were just wondering what was happening in the minds and hearts of people in worship. Because there were folks here in worship that were crying. There were others that were reaching out to one another after worship, with hugs to strangers and people that they loved. Still others just walked away in their own spirit of pondering and thinking through things. Yet I imagine there were some people here that were in worship that just could have cared less. They were here and disappointed that it wasn't a Sunday as usual, and they didn't hear a sermon from one of the pastors, as they understand sermons ought to happen, and just kind of sick and tired of conversations about race in America. But for me as a pastor, being here for 15 years, just kind of seeing how you as a congregation, I as a person have involved over those 15 years, I just felt like there's an element in which you as a church, we as a community are following Jesus. And the type of conversation we had last week, regrettably, isn't possible at the vast majority of churches in America. There's a Spirit of God that just invites us to follow Jesus. And yes, sometimes that means we deal with the tough stuff. And we deal with the things that bring us pain and regret and agony. But we also remember that Jesus says, follow me. Just follow me. So this Sunday, I placed inside the bulletin that insert about what it means to join our church. And honestly, they call it a pledge of membership. It's kind of a misnomer, because to me, it's more of like, you know, how can I belong? And I realize at the beginning of every year, people make spiritual commitments to follow God and to trust God and to be a part of the work that God is doing in their lives. And sometimes we just need an anchor. We just need a reminder. We just need an exercise or a moment where we sort of set that intention to follow and connect. And so I want to encourage, if there's anyone here in worship that's feeling like, yeah, this is the type of place I want to belong to, just let us know. We're not going to read through the vows. We're not going to have you make a public commitment. But if in your heart you just feel like what God is doing in your life, this nurturing your pathway to follow Jesus, and yes, a part of that place is this place, we'll be honored just for you to join us in what it means to follow Jesus and to trust in his care and his direction. So again, for folks that are new with us or have been worshiping with us for a few months or even a few years who haven't made a decision to belong here, this is your opportunity. But for every one of us here, there are always these moments where we pause and remember what it means to follow Jesus. It has a price, it has a cost, but it also has a joy in knowing that we're never alone. God is always guiding us forward. Won't you bow in prayer with me? Loving God, we thank you for the gift of this day. I personally believe whenever there are Sundays when we have inclement weather like we have today, you're nudging us to be here. And the folks that journeyed here, there was a reason, there was a purpose, and at the core of that reason and purpose, I believe, is this question. Are we following Jesus? And so I trust that as your Spirit works in our hearts, you will continue to remind us to follow you, to make an effort to start, because starting is always a sign of hopefulness. So guide us forward. Continue to open our eyes to those opportunities, to make it personal. And at that core is this belief and this following of Jesus and the impact it has not only on our personal lives, but it has on this church. And yes, sweet Jesus, it has on this world. So guide us forward, open our eyes, and continue to allow us to trust in your care. In your name we pray, may God's people say, amen.
Thank you all for bearing with us this morning. I appreciate it. And thank you for all the blessings we've reached. Please join me in the benediction with your heart and head uplifted. Go forth to spread the good news we learned today, to sow peace with justice, and to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.